granted to us on behalf of Christ. A compilation.
It has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for Him. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. I am a creature of comfort. I don't want luxury, but I do love comfort. Love creature comforts such as warm cups of tea, soft blankets, cuddling with my kids, a plate of pasta, an evening laughing with friends, the joy of a shirt that fits just right, kisses from my husband, a pretty place to sit. These are the things I seek out. I also like knowing that everyone I love is comfortable. Truth be told, I consider these my needs. Let me tell you about the things I don't seek out. Pain, of any kind, suffering, distress, and deprivation. I really dislike anything that will leave me cold, tired, or hungry, let alone injured or in pain. I like things to be easy. That's just the honest truth. There is this verse in the Bible that really conflicts with what I consider my needs. It has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for Him. This passage was written to the Christians of Philippi when Paul was in prison. In the previous verses, Paul was talking about how honored he felt to be in prison for preaching the gospel, and expressing how, whether he lived or died, his life belonged to God. So there I have it in black and white. It is given to me to suffer for Christ. Paul is letting us know that it's not just a feel-good religion where we find comfort, hope, encouragement, peace, and all that good stuff. Our faith in Jesus is also something we can expect to suffer for. Religious persecution can seem so far removed from our universe, we don't realize that even today there are many Christians whose faith costs them heavily in terms of personal comfort, safety, freedom, and even their lives. It can be a shock for those of us who live in places where religious persecution is less common that our faith comes with a must-be-willing-to-suffer clause. Jesus prepared our hearts for it when he said, "The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you." Persecution is actually a promise for living the way God wants you to live. Paul says this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So persecution can be a sign that your choices and lifestyle are probably right and godly. I decided to put a face on what persecution can look like, just to prepare my heart, and so that when it comes, I remember that this is what I've signed up for. 1. Being called out for my beliefs. This could mean having to explain to some of my secular friends that I believe in things like intelligent design and being ridiculed for those beliefs, or taking flack for not condoning certain kinds of behaviors or lifestyles, or perhaps watching my kids being pushed out of the cool crowd for choosing to be true to their faith. 2. Having someone go out of their way to make my or my family's life miserable because of our faith. Maybe someone will spread malicious stories about me and my loved ones. This could affect our social circle, club memberships, or employment, and cause hardship. This could go a step further with someone putting our physical safety at risk. 3. Being persecuted by the law and the government. I live in a country that boasts of religious freedom, and I love that we have it. But I also know that this certainty is not the case in many countries today. Religious freedom is something that amazing people of the Christian faith have fought and given their lives for, and I do not take it for granted. It could be taken away, There are countries where being a Christian is a crime punishable by imprisonment, fines, and in the most extreme cases, death. There's a lot to be said about God's grace, protection, miracles, and strength that comes when times are hard, which includes persecution. We can trust that He will give us His grace for any opposition or persecution we face in this life, from mild to severe. He will help us to face it with the same kind of love that makes us ready to fight and or suffer for those we love. And we know that Jesus does the same thing for us. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Mara Hodla. Worth the cost. Christians have experienced persecution from Jesus' time to the present. Our Lord explained in the scriptures that this is to be part of our lives as His followers. The Apostle Paul also said, "Yea, and all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Many people equate the term persecution with its most severe forms, imprisonment, torture, and death. They hear accounts on YouTube, in the news, and on Christian websites of the rising number of those of faith who've been called to endure such forms of persecution. But then they look around at the many other Christians in the world who've never faced anything that severe, and they may wonder if somehow those people weren't godly enough in some way. I think the answer can be found by looking at the definition of the word persecution. In both secular and Bible dictionaries, the definitions include terms such as being pursued, pressed on, oppressed, or suffering punishment. Some definitions describe the meaning as facing resistance, hostility, ill treatment, or opposition. When you live the truth of the gospel, it's inevitable that you will face opposition and resistance in one form or another. Some are called to endure very extreme forms of persecution, while others suffer in other ways. Whatever the situation, God gives them the strength and courage to face what He has asked of them. None of us can know what will come into our lives in the future, but we do know that whatever it is, Jesus will never fail us. Whatever He calls us to do in this life, if we are closely following Him, we will glorify Him. No matter what He asks us to do, His power will be there to help us when we need it. As we look to Him, we will be victors, and He will be pleased with us. Maria Fontaine. Tasks of faith. We do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. Philip Yancey once wrote, "I used to believe that Christianity solved problems and made life easier. Increasingly, I believe that my faith complicates life in ways it should be complicated. As a Christian, I cannot not care about the environment, about homelessness and poverty, about racism and religious persecution, about injustice and violence. God does not give me that option." Yancey goes on to quote that old familiar passage, which he explains this way. "Jesus offers comfort, but the comfort consists of taking on a new burden, His own burden. Jesus offers a peace that involves a new turmoil, a rest that involves new tasks." What new tasks? Jesus summed them up when He summed up the Christian faith. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. our neighbor, being anyone we are in a position to help. Loving others as much as we love ourselves doesn't come naturally and seldom is easy, but it's what we're called to as Christians. Keith Phillips.
You've been listening to an audio production by The Family International. Visit us at www.thefamily.org.